Have you ever understood, actually, how different the birth of Jesus Christ was? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. These are the first two verses of the Gospel according to John. It brings to our mind immediately an unusual use of this English word, word. You will notice that in most of our Bibles, most of our versions, it's spelled with a capital W. Sometimes it's printed in capital letters, W-O-R-D. It's because it refers to a particular Greek word that you won't need to pay attention to now, except I can tell you that it particularly refers to a Greek word which in some respects could be spoken of as idea or the expressed will. In the beginning was the mind of God, the will of God, the expressed idea of God. And this expressed idea of God, this will of God, actually was with God. And this idea, this will of God, actually was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Something like that. This passage introduces to us the idea of Jesus Christ that the book of John is going to tell us about. And while you may not feel very comfortable about following through on the meaning of the Greek word, because perhaps you feel that you don't understand Greek, you can at least read these words, and one thing does come to you. Whatever was meant by the word, capital W-O-R-D, this was with God and was God. And now notice on what we have in this passage. In verse 3, all things were made by him. That is the one known as the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. And by the way, even while you're reading, you might let your eye drop down to verse 14 so that you'll keep in mind that you're not straining a point when you remember that this is referring to Jesus Christ. Look in verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and so on. There's no doubt that what John is claiming is, this is the way in which he introduces the idea of Jesus Christ and brings to our mind this amazing thing, that the person of Jesus Christ actually existed before the world began. And who was he? The rest of the Bible will make it very clear to us, the Son of God. And the Son of God, eternal with the Father, actually was with the Father before anything began. And by him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. The actual operation of Almighty God in the creation of the world is perhaps not too clearly kept in mind in our human minds. We say in one sense that God the Father is the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And certainly one of the ways in which we understand God is that he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. But when you're speaking about God that way, and you speak about God as the creator of the heavens and the earth, you and I have in mind that this is the God that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this Gospel of John, John is bringing out a little bit more definitely about the Son of God, this second person of the Godhead, and unquestionably puts right here in verse 3, all things were made by him. Now, we may not understand everything about it, but Jesus Christ, actually in his eternal being, was the one who was involved in the creation of all things that were made. Without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, each one of these words points on the other side, way beyond all that we know. On this side, it's something we can understand. It's something like looking out at the ocean. Right in front of you, the ocean laps up against the beach, and you can walk in the water of it, and you're walking in the ocean. But look up, look out to the skyline, away out to the horizon, and the ocean goes far, far, far further away. In him was life. The life that you and I have right now, and which enables us to talk to each other and be right here. But what is life? Oh, the other side of life goes away on out into eternity. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, light you can see. If light is on, you can see in the room. If light's before you, you can walk. But what makes light, and where does light come from? And what is the light of men? And that'll take you way out into the eternal itself. And the light, verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And this is a very important idea. I want to stay here for a moment, walk around it with you. Just a moment, look at this. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. First of all, let me talk to you about darkness. We use it very often, and you, of course, know what it is. The word darkness just covers everything where there is no light. That's all it is. It's a negative term, and it means no light. So that brings us back to light. We say the light shineth in darkness. Now, we won't have the whole of what we mean by light. Before we're finished with the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus himself will say, I am the light of the world. And he'll say many other things about light, and we'll talk about them as we go along. But one thing we know right here, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, that word comprehended is a difficult word to get hold of, because ordinarily you use the word comprehend as a kind of a mental exercise. You talk about comprehending something as if you could understand it, and how can darkness have any mentality? And, of course, that'll leave you a little confusion. So I can give you maybe a little better translation if I say to you, the darkness could not contain it, could not overcome it. The Greek idea of comprehend is to draw a circle around and contain something. In other words, if I comprehend a problem, means I understand it all round about it. I know the whole business. I've got it in my hand. Then I comprehend it. Well, the darkness could not contain the light. In other words, you can say, the darkness was not able to overcome the light, and in a very simple way you can say, the darkness could not put it out. Suppose you try that in your mind. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. Because here is a wonderful thing. No matter how small the light may be, if it's just a match that you light, and there's just a match flame shining in the darkness can't put it out. That's one thing about darkness. It has no power over against light. And John immediately claims this for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world and says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness into this world, and nothing could put it out. This is what he is keeping in mind. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome anything in this world. Now in verse 6, there was a man sent from God, his name was John. We're going to talk about him later on in the book, so let us just, this is what we call John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And we're going to be talking about that further, too, as we come across it in the way in which the Gospel of John refers to it. That John the Baptist's whole ministry on this earth was to help people believe in the light of the world. Verse 8 says, he was not that light, that is, the light that was to be the light of the world, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now in verse 9 you read, that was the true light, and all of this is referring to Jesus Christ. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now I'm more or less hurriedly going over this, and you'll notice so far several things have been said about Christ. To begin with, he was called the Word. Was in the beginning with God and was God. The next thing it says, he's the light that you have here. In him was life, and now we have the word light. Now notice verse 10. And when you come to verse 10, even if none of these figures are used, and the idea that is stated here is very clear. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. This is a kind of a comment, a summary of the whole witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Came into this world, lived in this world, taught in this world, and eventually died in this world, and the world never did appreciate him. Yet he made it. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the same idea is expressed again a little bit more personally. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Of course, many of us understand that that would mean the people of Israel. They'll mean the Jewish people, but yet it isn't just limited to that. He came unto his own. Why his own? Well, he made the world. It was his own. He made man. It was his own. He made all things that are made. Without him was not anything made that was made. So he came to the very thing he had made, and his own received him not. This is the summary. John could write these words in here after he had written the whole book. After you had the whole story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one great thing about him is he came into this world to seek and to save the lost, and he was turned down. He came into this world that men through him might believe, and they turned their backs on him. That's the big point in the story. But there were some exceptions, and verse 12 is a wonderful verse. We'll be referring to it again and again and again. Look at verse 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's a marvelous thing. I'll repeat it one more time. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we're going to find this all through this book. These people which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And he's going to say in the third chapter, they were born again and of God. And now in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the way in which John opens his gospel and which he talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to tell us the whole story, and he is beginning in here to present it to us. The whole message, the whole book of John, as John reports it, as John tells it, is going to be the story that he gives us of one who came unto his own, and his own received him not. Our God and Heavenly Father, we pray that our own hearts and minds may be open in such a way that we may not miss what thou hast provided for us. And our Father, we ask thee that when the light shines into our hearts, grant that we may receive it. And when the Lord Jesus comes to speak to us, grant that we may listen. And if there should be anyone hearing this program on the air who isn't acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray thee, Father, to give them the grace to listen, that they might draw nigh unto him. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.